Well, speaking of power bottoms.
Geek Juice Radio.
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? Was the Jello?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Hello, welcome to another great episode of Geek Juice Radio. I know you're going to say it, Josh. Yes, it's a great episode, despite what Josh says.
Despite the fact that Josh is here.
Well, it's not great because I'm here, but that's, you know, another issue.
Well, don't be like that, Kevin.
How I'm feeling tonight. It'll be an interesting show.
Have some Christmas spirit. It's that time of year.
I'll be a neutral
some of
third party.
I'm depressed, actually. So.
Did you just have the atheist and Josh the atheist to have Christmas spirit?
Yeah.
Isn't Joust an atheist, too? I'm not sure of Mike Riley's status.
I'm agnostic.
An agnostic.
I still celebrate
an
Christmas mostly out of nostalgia, longing for my youth, but.
An agnostic is only an atheist without the courage of his own convictions.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm atheist, but I've been having a lot of weird eschatological dreams lately, so I don't know what's up late now.
I'm gonna blame the bad dog movies, Christmas movies you've been watching.
The part of that sentence that convinced me was the scatological part.
Not scatological, eschatological.
Yeah, if but you've there's been still having scatological dreams, in there.
You've been having those dreams. You only should only be worried if you wind up with more and more wood than normal.
Yeah. Clarissa was in all of them.
It'll probably be Topanga tonight.
Lost control of this show right off the bat.
I did. Our topic tonight, well, we've got me, I'm Alex Drowski, we got Kevin Daly.
I'm here, for what that's worth.
We got Josh Hadley, and his first time on the show, we got Mike Riley from Mental
Cast. Alrighty.
Alright, and our topic is Christmas TV specials, or the Christmas episodes of TV series. Now, I sent, before the show, like, just a random list. Here's just some random ones I grabbed real quick to, like, jog your memory. And then Josh immediately pointed out it's inaccurate somehow.
Mm-mm.
It's because I'm right, you're wrong.
I'm like, how is it inaccurate? It's just random. They're not even in a order or anything.
Have you met Josh?
They're
what he does.
Inaccurate because you have it listed with The Simpsons pilot. Okay, first of all, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire is actually the seventh episode of the series. It was not the pilot. It was not made as the pilot. It was only aired first because they were running behind on the rest of the episodes, so the new air date was going to be in early December, so they said, instead of airing this seventh when it should have aired, which would be in February, we'll just air it first. There were six episodes made to take place prior to that, so that Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire is not a pilot.
Yeah, to elucidate on that, Some Enchanted Evening was actually intended to be the first episode. They sent it back because it sucked out loud. They made them redo it.
The animation was terrible in the original version.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That ruins it for me because I always thought it was the pilot. I love that episode, so.
Yep.
Oh, well.
No,
another part of my childhood
just happened to be the first
Josh
one aired. There is a difference.
Yep.
Because it's a good episode.
It is. Honestly, it's a good introduction. And it's probably a better introduction than the actual pilot, but that still doesn't make it a pilot.
It's true.
Well, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire was a good episode. And for The Simpsons, it was uphill for a bit, and then it's been downhill for the past, I don't know how many years.
15, 16.
All of them? The last, like, 15, yeah.
No, they had a good stride about season 5 or 6 or so.
Yeah, and they're
about
on season
15
like
years
26
ago.
Right now, so yeah.
Yeah.
The last 15 years or so have been bad for The Simpsons.
That's putting it mildly.
Around season 10 is when that show fell apart. And do you know why The Simpsons fell apart? And by the way, Kevin and Michael, I think we should make a game out of how long we can stay off topic just to screw with Jowski.
No, I don't think you should.
What is this, the Mental Cast?
But the thing with The Simpsons is, you'll notice when the big sea change came in the style of comedy that they went for when Family Guy started to get ratings.
When all the talent
Family Guy started getting popular, when Family Guy started stealing their viewers, they said, we've got to be more like Family Guy. And that's when you saw The Simpsons stop being The Simpsons and start to become Family Guy with Simpsons characters. That's when you just said, all they want is ratings. They don't care anymore.
Yep.
So I haven't seen it lately, though. I mean, is how like Family Guy is it humor wise, or do they do just the it's just nothing but non sequiturs over and over again?
It's non sequiturs. It's cutaways to, hey Marge, remember that time when we went to this, and they'll have a little 30-second gag.
So
to,
it's
yes, it is Family Guy with Homer, Bart, Marge, Lisa, and Maggie. That's how the Simpsons are. Just that fucking terrible at this point. They are Family Guy because they want Family Guy's audience. And just to prove, just last week they had a joke that is something straight out of Family Guy. It was a joke. Mr. Teeny got into a fight with another monkey, and the all of a sudden they start fighting, and the camera pans up to Krusty's face, and you can't see the two monkeys fighting, and Krusty goes, what? Mr. Teeny's a girl? And he goes, oh, no, he's just a power bottom.
Yes,
they went there, and I'm like, that is a f***ing Seth MacFarlane joke. That same joke was used on Family Guy. You go, how, really, Simpsons? Are you that desperate for ratings?
Well, speaking of power bottoms, I don't know if this was a Christmas special or not, but the Village People and Can't Stop the Christmas Music.
That was a nice segue. I'll give you that one.
God damn it, Alex.
One of your better ones.
Was that an actual Christmas special?
I never saw it, so I have no comment on it.
Never a Village People fan. To me, the best thing the Village People ever did was their Married with Children appearance, where they all got murdered by fat homicidal women.
Well, it was a better segue than, hey, anybody remember the... Well, speaking of power bottoms, anybody remember the Alf Christmas special?
No, I never watched Alf except for, like, on reruns, so I never...
Alf meets a girl in the hospital who's dying of cancer, and then she dies.
Really? That's depressing.
Yeah, that's depressing.
That is.
Well, this is a happy show so far.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's all go to the graveyard now.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, well, here's another bucket of joy was the Chipmunk Christmas. Not the original song that made the Chipmunks famous.
I'm glad you said bucket of joy there.
Not the original Chipmunk song that made them famous.
Are you referring to the one I sang last night in the post show? Yeah. Part of? Yeah.
Not that one. This is from the...
Where they find their mom?
No, this is the one where they befriend a boy that's dying of cholera.
What is it with these Christmas special and everybody f***ing dying?
I know. Hey, we should play another game and see how much editing we make Alex do on this episode.
And speaking of people dying, how many TV adaptations have there been around Christmas of the Matchstick Girl?
I don't even know what that is. I'm way out of... I'm
I don't know that either.
You're not familiar with that story? It's a Christmas story about a homeless girl that freezes to death alone and dies.
Good God!
This sounds like an Alex Jowski Christmas to me.
Are you sure it was a book? Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't nothing?
Ooh, Family Guy.
No, see, keep in mind, I'm an atheist and I don't celebrate Christmas. My two favorite Christmas specials, the two Futuramas. The
yes!
two Futuramas with Psycho Evil Robot Santa.
I love those.
Oh, yeah, I do like those. Those are good.
Who dies in them?
Anyone that's in, Santa shoots little girls with bike guns that shoots 10-speed bikes at little girls and puts them in the hospital. So that's pretty dark. Oh, and the bird dies. I am so gonna buy you 100 lizards.
Now there were those Rankin and Bass Christmas ones.
Oh, Year Without Santa Claus.
Year Without Santa Claus, and of course, Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey.
Again, just
you know what's funny.
I think you're making these up.
No, it's
no, he's not. He's not.
There's a riff track for it.
Rankin Bass ones, Alex. Go and watch those, and then go and watch Thundercats. Almost the entire voice cast of Thundercats do the voices of those Christmas specials. So all of a sudden, you'll hear Panthro as the villain or Lion-O as one of the reindeer. It's so weird. It's so weird to hear Thundercats on those Rankin Bass specials.
But with Nestor, the long-eared Christmas donkey, I mean, there's a riff tracks of it you could check out sometime.
My wife loves Nestor, the long-eared donkey.
Yeah, you've got this long-eared donkey. He's just got these huge, giant ears, and all the other donkeys tease him. And then his mother freezes to death while trying to keep him warm. So again,
doesn't it turn out like he pulls the cart that's got Jesus on it to the manger or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that's called? I've seen that one, actually. I didn't know that was what it was called, though.
Yeah, my wife's got a VHS or two of that.
And then I know I brought this up last year, but the Pac-Man animated series Christmas episode.
Yes, the only one that featured humans.
Yeah, well, Santa.
Santa's a human? Are you trying to say Santa's not a f***ing human?
He's a god. He's a demigod.
Well, see, speaking of Christmas elves, one of the funniest adult, I don't mean adult in dirty, but adult jokes I've ever heard on a kid's Christmas show was from the Pinky and Brain Christmas special on Animaniacs, where Pinky and the Brain were pretending to be elves to get close to Santa, and, you know, they're there all year long. Pinky comes in and says, "Right, invited over to Donner's house for a reindeer party." And he goes, "Funny, I don't relish being a member of the Donner Party."
So Charlie,
I was just watching that the other night.
Charlie's this is gonna get, now.
This is gonna get awkward. I was asked to step in for Charlie.
I didn't know if Charlie was gonna be here tonight because Tom's like, "Oh, I have Charlie on my show tonight." I'm like, "Oh, okay, then."
I tried to arrange it so I could do both, which was no easy task because Tom records his with everybody at his house with mics and a mixer and stuff.
We've been schooling Jowski on why he's an idiot, and we've been trying to stay off topic.
Trying to just stay on topic, even if I'm bringing up the dark Christmas specials.
Yeah, about death and dying.
Yeah, that's all we've talked about. It's been a really downer of an episode.
Thank you, Alex Jowski.
You guys remember?
But perhaps
you guys
Charlie.
Remember, it turns out to be one of the, like, the second or third episode of Night Court, starring a then unknown Michael J. Fox, the Night Court Christmas special, where a bum who just got arrested for vagrancy claims to be Santa Claus, and it turns out he actually is.
Really?
I remember that. I remember he gave somebody a red yo-yo, which was the toy that they always wanted since they were a kid, or whatever.
Ah, yeah.
I just remember my favorite Christmas
The episode starred, and Santa ended up forcibly hugged a then-unknown Michael J. Fox until Michael J. Fox started crying. It's really funny to see him that damn young, too.
Kevin, you said your favorite Christmas?
The Stroker and Hoop Christmas special.
That was a good one.
Stroker and Hoop was hilarious.
They've had dying Santa in the car the whole time.
Dying?
Yes.
I don't know if I saw the Christmas special. I watched a lot of that show.
You probably saw the Christmas special. I just remember Santa vomiting in his beard.
Well, yeah, wasn't Santa, like, ODing on something?
I think, yeah, he was, like, poisoned or something.
They were trying to get him to the hospital, and he was puking all over the car.
Yeah.
Well, Martha would
Do you guys remember the Warrior Christmas special comic book?
No.
Oh, God.
This is when Warrior, the wrestler, this is long after he'd gone insane and, you know, ranted about distrucity and all this. It was just a pinup book of Warrior in all these different Christmas-esque settings. And in one of those, there's a pantsless Santa Claus with white goo on his chest, lying on the ground tied up while Warrior is putting pants on.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm not joking either. So yes, Warrior actually alluded to having raped Santa.
Now it's Warrior who has the empty sack.
Well, now that Charlie's here, I guess I can bounce.
Don't bounce.
Because we still have what your actual favorite Christmas special is still coming up. But we have
Do okay.
Martha though would kill me if I didn't bring up the Woodland Critter Christmas.
Oh, South Park.
Lot orgy.
Yes, the South Park episode.
I can't decide
episode.
If I think that one's funny or if that one really, really depresses me for some reason.
It's an episode
I
of South Park.
Could kill Abbott and use his blood as lubricant.
It's an episode of South Park where you've got the Woodland Critter setting up their Christmas and they need help with their tree and their manger. And they're like, Barry the bear, Rabbity the rabbit. And it turns out that the animals are all devil worshippers and they're summoning their dark lord.
Yeah, it's all a story that Cartman wrote and was reading in front of the class. It's like a 29-minute setup to a 1-minute Jew joke.
Yeah, oh, well, where Kyle dies of, like, AIDS at the end.
Yeah, Kyle dies of AIDS.
Yeah.
But you guys remember the two Smurf Christmas specials?
I've read about one where they were like, and it was just talking about its overuse of the word Smurf. That it was like Smurf Miss and
Smurf, yeah.
Where did you
well,
read
they did that
about
on the regular
Christmas
show.
Specials, Jowski?
I did some reading up on Christmas specials.
I can't imagine someone reading about that.
I have them both on tape to surprise nobody.
With the commercials?
Yeah, is there something
with
you
commercials,
don't have
yes.
on tape?
That'd yes. probably be an easier list.
To the great surprise of nobody.
Yeah, the Smurf Christmas, that also deals with people freezing to death. They don't. The Smurf saved them. But that two kids almost freeze to death in that.
Now,
freezing to death seems to be a Christmas thing, like Scrooged.
Now, I came across this list that it took me a while to figure out what was up with this list. It said the 10 least successful holiday specials. Now, I'll just read them real quick. Algonquin Roundtable Christmas. The Mercury Theater of the Air presents the assassination of Saint Nicholas.
That sounds interesting.
Because this sounds like all like local TV, Jowski.
Anne Rand's A Selfish Christmas.
Mercury Theater on the Air was Orson Welles' radio show.
Yeah, okay. That's how
So that was most likely about. That was most likely produced and/or narrated by Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Anne Rand's A Selfish Christmas.
Because what other kind?
That'd be
there.
Most Christmases.
Yeah. This list from 411 or something, Alex.
Well,
this list made up.
Yes, thank you. It was made up. It took me forever to realize it was made up.
Oh, well, then why'd you even bring it up? That's not even funny.
But I wanted to see how long it took you guys, because it goes on and it's got like a Canadian Christmas with David Cronenberg.
Okay, yeah, that would have been a dead giveaway right there.
See, some of these sound like they'd be funny though.
a PBS special called Noam Chomsky's Deconstructing Christmas.
Actually, the Cronenberg one I could see. Like, if you could imagine Santa Claus crashing his sleigh and then James Spader jerking off to the crash.
or Santa fusing into the sleigh and then becoming one entity. That'd be Cronenbergian, too.
He tried to use a teleporter to make the present delivery easier.
The one that gave it away for me, though, was actually the last one on the list. Christmas with the Nuge.
The Nuge?
The Nuge.
Oh, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, okay.
The Nuge. The Nuge.
Well, he's probably killing caribou in that episode with a bow.
Well, and what gave it away was its description that in the second half of the hour-long special, Nugent heckles vegetarian Night Ranger Damn Yankees bassist Jack Blades into consuming 3 strips of Dove jerky.
Dove jerky. You can really taste the piece.
You can really taste the John Woo.
Oh.
can you smell Travolta on this? This one was on Face Off.
Mm. And I'm going to bring up Kevin's favorite Christmas special here, the Star Wars Christmas holiday special. Not Christmas.
I was
going to
say it's
holiday.
Not called Christmas, it's called Holiday.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's right. You were being sarcastic.
Yes, the
Life Day.
They're celebrating Life Day and you get Wookiees.
Yes, they call it a holiday special, not a Christmas special, because when something that just golden and perfect, you want to get it out to as many people as possible.
My favorite.
Well, here's my thing now. Not that Disney owns that, and Disney never misses an opportunity to make some money or whore themselves out. I'm thinking next Christmas the DVD's on the shelves.
Oh,
oh yeah,
we're gonna see it on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, HD
yep.
restored.
Yeah, we are definitely gonna see that on Disney DVD.
And yep. It's going to be like Blu-ray, so you could really see the Wookiee spunk.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, and then the weirdest thing about that is that special, outside of all the stupidity in it, really has a place in Star Wars history as that's the first appearance of Boba Fett, that character that does nothing in any of the movies, yet is somehow a fan favorite character.
No, he helps give a Sarlacc pit some nourishment.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of other people to do that. But yeah, Boba Fett first appears in that special in the animated segment.
His armor is cool. I guess I'll give him that.
He had a jetpack, okay?
His backpack's got,
and he was taken out by a blind man.
That's true. He was.
How badass is he when a blind man can kill the most badass assassin in the galaxy?
Lando...
And then he screams like a little bitch flying into the Sarlacc. I'm surprised they didn't Wilhelm scream it. Or the goofy, woohoo! I think that would actually be more dignified than the
echoing down into the Sarlacc pit.
That, actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure
that
they
died like a little bitch by a blind man.
To be fair, he did just get eaten by a giant vagina with teeth.
I'm pretty sure they did Wilhelm scream it.
Please don't remind me.
Not in the original 83 version. Not the version I saw in the theater. There wasn't a Wilhelm scream.
Please don't remind me of the movie Teeth, please.
I've heard it's good. I haven't seen Teeth.
That is a fantastic movie. I love that movie.
Have you guys seen the movie? It stars a bunch of porn actors like Ron Jeremy and a bunch of porn actresses, but it's not a porn. It's about aliens who come down and their mouths are their vaginas. Or their vaginas are their mouths. It's called They Bite.
That's their vaginas.
It's a real movie.
And it's not a porn?
It's not a porn, but it stars a bunch of porn actors.
They missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, well, I don't see guys getting their penises eaten off as being particularly interesting.
That sounds like a guinea pig.
Yeah. What was that?
It was guinea pigs.
Okay. Thought it was a car alarm or something.
Are you sitting on the mic again? Richard Gere's ass was nicer.
What other great TV, good or bad TV specials for Christmas do you recall?
I think the Beavis and Butthead Christmas is definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, there were two of those.
The first one was my favorite, where they did It's a Wonderful Life and also A Christmas Carol.
Know what I liked about the first one, though? They did those, but when they would cut for the music video segments, they're just staring at a Yule log fire, making really bad Christmas jokes.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about it.
My wife's yelling in the background, Yule log. I don't know how you pronounce it. I kind of, Yule.
It's not like Yule Brenner, it's Yule log.
Yule.
But I remember the Beavis and Butthead Christmas special when I saw it on MTV when it was in its first run. That was the first time I had seen the video for the Ramones' Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight in like 10 years.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, they like had commentary on that video. Like, they didn't say anything really specific about like the people in the video or even about the Ramones in general. They were just kind of just making innocuous comments. But I had not seen that video for such a long time. It's a good video. It ends with Santa throwing up into a toilet.
Well, I remember it also had...
That's the best place to do it, right?
Well, yeah, he's not an animal.
It also had that some Buster Poindexter song.
Oh, yeah. Yes, because
Is that one from the Scrooged soundtrack?
Yes, because Buster Poindexter played the Ghost of Christmas Past in Scrooged.
No, he wasn't the Ghost of Christmas Past, but wasn't he just the taxi driver for all of them, or was he the Christmas
No,
Past?
No, he was the Ghost of Christmas Past. Carol Kane was the Ghost of Christmas Present, and then they had the Reaper
Death
figure.
For Future.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you are correct. It's been a long time since I've seen Scrooge, because every time I see it now, it's on like TNT and it's all cut to ribbons. They don't even show the full Scrooge promo with all the drugs and the shotguns to women's faces. They always cut that on TV, and it's like, then why do you want me to watch your damn version of this if you're not gonna show it all?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole point of that joke in the context of the movie is that it's horrible, and if you're not gonna show it by showing the movie on TV, and I just confused myself just now.
Yes,
that was bizarre.
Absolutely.
I think I actually got lost.
Do you guys remember the Max Headroom Christmas special on Cinemax back in 87?
That was a good one.
That was actually, because first of all, Robin Williams was high as hell on that.
Oh, he was coked out of his head.
There was no, I mean, you can see his eyes almost rolling back in his head. Robin Williams had no idea he was talking to Max Headroom.
Yeah, Robin Williams' eyes were blurry.
Which you got to think, Charlie, is a little surreal in and of itself. But when you're high, talking to Max Headroom about Santa?
Seems totally natural.
Yeah, because I remember Robin Williams was dusted out of his mind on that.
Yeah.
Now, there's, I do remember the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Oh, I watched that all the time as a kid.
Christmas in Eternia.
Yeah, even Skeletor gets some of the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
And it sickens.
Who was that, Michael? Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
I was doing that all last night, too.
Well, and then G.I. Joe didn't have a Christmas special, but they did have an episode that took place on Christmas, and the how Cobra snuck into their headquarters was sneaking bombs into the presents. So Christmas was actually part of the plot of an old G.I. Joe episode.
That would be a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a Christmas special, I said.
Yeah.
Just a Christmas episode.
Well, there's a lot of Christmas episodes where they don't really go into Christmassy stuff. I mean, it's just
usually a Christmas special will like ape or parody a well-known Christmas story.
Yeah.
A Christmas episode is just an episode that takes place during Christmas and is somewhat Christmas related. Like Ren and Stimpy, the episode where Stimpy's fart escape, like, leaves the house and Stimpy goes out searching for him. That took place during Christmas, but I wouldn't call that a Christmas special.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I agree with that. You know, and then you have other ones that they don't even acknowledge Christmas. Just all of a sudden, like, you'd see a Family Matters episode and they happen to have a Christmas tree in the background and it's never acknowledged once.
Does that really count as
a Christmas episode?
I always kind of liked when shows did that. It just sort of lent like some credence to the reality of the show, because I mean, like, during the holiday season, in your house you have a Christmas tree up, but you're not necessarily talking about Christmas all the goddamn time.
My favorite Christmas episode of any sitcom would have to be the first season Married with Children, the one where Santa Claus is parachuting and it doesn't open and he crashes in the Bundy's yard.
Yep.
And that is one of the darkest, almost mean-spirited Christmas specials I've ever seen. And even by today's standards, it's still mean. It's mean-spirited.
That would be You Better Watch Out from 1987.
Yep. And it's hilarious, too.
And the second Married with Children Christmas special, I believe it's the second one, because they did a few of them, but the one where it was like It's a Wonderful Life,
yeah,
by Alice Guardian Angel with Sam Kennison.
It's a Bundyful Life.
That's only the life. Second half, because it was... actually a two-parter. The first episode is Al trying to get Christmas money for the family because he wanted the extra 12 cents of interest, so he left the money in the bank until Christmas Eve, but then he got held up by a robber and couldn't make it to the bank, so yep. No Christmas. And then at the very end of the first episode, he gets electrocuted trying to plug in the one Christmas light that they have outside, and when he wakes up, then it's Sam Kinison for part two. So yes. Really, only half of that is It's a Wonderful Life parody.
I remember that. And I remember another thing about that episode. That was the first time Ted McGinley was on the show. I think it was a few months later they brought him back as Jefferson Darcy.
You are correct.
That Christmas time episode of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
It's called Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town.
Yep. Yes. Cobras don't even have claws.
Well, because, okay.
Way to take it literally, Charlie.
When the Hub was showing G.I. Joe for the first time, when they first picked it up, they were showing them all in order, the original air date order. And then all of a sudden, my wife and I are watching it on Christmas, which, you know, however many years, a couple of years ago, and that episode comes on, and that's from, like, season two. And it was like, what the... That's not the... And then I'm like, oh, they're actually just pulling this one in early because it's topical. I get it.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool of the Hub to do that.
Yeah, they would do that all the time with... Because in the afternoon, they'd air all those Disney shows. Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, all those.
Right.
And yeah. Right around Christmas or Halloween, they would air those particular episodes.
Yeah, they would just bombard you with Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, that's what local stations were like. Yeah. Every sitcom, you know, your local independent station had, the week of Halloween, the week of Christmas, that's all you saw. It didn't matter if they were jumping all over the series continuity. They'd show the Charles in Charge Christmas special from all, like, 10 seasons. Didn't matter if you had no clue what the hell was going on anymore in the story. Mm-hmm. It was Christmas, so they showed it.
Yeah, so you can go through like 5 years of Christmas episodes in a week.
Yeah.
And they would just show that same episode all week long.
Not usually.
Well, I know they did that with the Disney cartoons.
Well, I remember once when I worked at Channel 2, I was so bored on Christmas Day. Now, the only channels we could get at Channel 2, ironically, were not Channel 2. The only channel we could get was the local Fox affiliate, Channel 11, and PBS. for Don't Ask Me Why. That's all we could get over the air there. And this is before the digital conversion. I actually sat and watched this British Christmas movie on PBS on Christmas night once at Channel 2 that was about this woman and her family that broke into a department store and they were secretly living there through the week of the holidays. And then the security guard found them and it was kind of mannequin-y slapstick while trying to be schmaltzy. It was weird.
It was Bad Ronald, the Christmas episode.
Bad Ronald wasn't British.
There was the Koopa Claws episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes.
I don't remember that one. On I remember the show, but I don't remember the Christmas one. Do you remember that one, Kevin?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I think I've seen that one more than any of the other ones, actually. For some reason. Not sure why.
Well, and you had this weird thing when it came to cartoons like that, or for all intents and purposes, Super Mario Brothers Super Show was a cartoon, just happened to have some live-action segments.
Yeah.
That in the days before DVD sets, whenever there'd be a cartoon released to video, for whatever reason, they'd always release the Christmas special.
Yeah,
and no other episodes.
Yeah, that's probably, I probably had that episode on tape and just watched it a lot as a kid.
Yep. Yeah, but, like I have the Pinky and the Brain Christmas special on VHS.
I've got the Pac-Man one, the Simpsons, you know, Simpsons roasting over an open fire.
Yeah, that came out before any of them did.
I've got a few of those where it's, why is the Christmas one the only episode? I think I've got a tape for the Snorks Christmas special and things. And you go, why just the Christmas ones? You couldn't release regular episodes that are usually better?
In the case of the Simpsons, the Christmas episode was the pilot, was it not?
No, it wasn't.
We've already argued about that.
Yeah, we discussed this before you came on.
Okay, I did not mean to reopen that.
I thought it was the pilot, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was quickly corrected by Josh, who made me sad.
And Mike, don't discount Mike's part of that.
Yep, I agreed with him and elucidated on it.
So you guys just ganged up on Kevin?
Yep.
Jowski.
I don't even know this guy.
Oh, you guys.
And he doesn't know me.
Rubbing it in a little more. It's all right. It's cool.
And see, the thing that I find weird about holiday specials in general, whether it be Halloween, Christmas, whatnot, now, especially when you see them in syndication or even on like TBS or TNT or things like that, because you see this with Family Guy and all these other shows like My Name is Earl and that, they'll just show them at random times. All of a sudden, the week before Christmas, you'll see the My Name is Earl Halloween special and things like that.
Yeah.
They don't seem to do what we were talking about anymore about making it specific to the holiday. Now it's just, this is when it's coming in our run. Just deal with it. So they're trick-or-treating and it's a week before Christmas. Deal.
What do you think is the most novel approach that a show has taken to a Christmas episode? Like to make it different, kind of to make it stand out.
Oh, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
I think the way I would go with that would be Futurama with the killer robot.
Yeah, the robot. That was the first thing that came to my mind, too. We talked about that, too, also.
Robot Santa was badass.
More badass when he was John Goodman, but I will always prefer Hanukkah Zombie. Man, 140 years of handing this thing, or no.
Kwanzaa Bot.
What about Kwanzaa Bot?
140
years of handing this thing out, and nobody still knows what Kwanzaa is.
I don't even know what Kwanzaa is. Yeah, that was good. Because it was John Goodman in the first Christmas episode, and then John DiMaggio because Goodman wouldn't come back for some reason.
No, I always liked like Japanese Christmas episodes for like animes or kid shows because they don't really do Christmas over there.
Be Robo Kabutok Christmas.
Yeah,
he's called Annual Gift Man, and he lives on the moon.
Yeah,
thank
basically.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
And Santa's all Asian, and he's got, like, a gift gun and kidnapped by robots. And then they have a little Christmas party at the end.
Because you got to have a Christmas
party. For the longest time, something you guys just brought up, it was the late 90s. No, probably not even late. It was, like, 96, 97, something like that. Christmas Eve, my wife and I are watching local TV, and Ned the Dead is on. Ned the Dead's Chiller Theater, like, Christmas Eve. And Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, first time I'd ever seen that. It took my wife and I a while to actually convince ourselves that was a real movie. That we were watching a real film that somebody made.
Kind of like how when you wake up from a really vivid dream, you have to convince yourself that it's not real.
Yeah. It's like, no, the opposite of that. I swear that's a guy in a polar bear costume. I swear it. You know, this is real. And then people wouldn't believe me. You guys got to remember, this is in the era before the internet. So people wouldn't believe me. My wife and I are trying to tell people, there's this movie called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians we were watching, and no one believes us.
It's like Shangri-La. You can't find it again.
Well, I guess that's a good thing about the internet. These days you can actually confirm these sorts of things.
Oh, and heck, that movie's public domain.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of those, like, before.
Well, I know what you guys are suffering through on Snark Attack.
At some point, yeah.
Probably in July.
Don't call that at Christmas in July.
That's when they least expect it.
Cartoon Network used to do that. Cartoon Network used to always have one of the weeks in July set aside for Christmas episodes of all their cartoons. And I'm like, screw you, Cartoon Network. Screw you, Ted Turner.
But they also had June Bugs. You got to give them that.
I remember that.
I don't know what June Bugs is.
Yeah, June Bugs was great. It was just a 24 or 48-hour marathon of Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
They used to do that for New Year's as well. It was either TBS or TNT would always have 24 hours of not just Bugs Bunny, but Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It was 24 hours of Looney Tunes cartoons in the mid-80s. Because I always remember being at my grandparents' house, and they had cable, but obviously all the channels are different because they're on a different side of the state. So that was the only channel that I'm like, hey, cartoons, I'll just watch this.
Well, Cartoon Network still does that. I think it was like maybe 3 years ago. There was a New Year's Day where I was hungover as shit and just watched Looney Tunes all day.
Isn't that the kind of thing you wish you were high for?
I was content to just get over the hangover.
Does the weed not help with the hangover? As a non-smoker, I do not know how that affects hangovers.
I've actually never tried that as a hangover cure.
Now, well, we know what Charlie's doing this weekend.
Experiments, that's what, yeah.
Experiment time.
Science!
For science.
There's the Fat Albert Christmas special.
I like that one. You want to talk dark? That's the one where the mother with no house ends up giving birth in the junkyard.
Josh, did you say the Fat Albert Christmas special was dark?
It is.
Oh, snap.
Dark toned, not dark skinned.
I see what you did there.
Yes. That was quite clever, Michael, yes. I think I do remember that, though. I remember Santa Claus being slightly skinnier than Fat Albert.
I never watched Fat Albert, so I have no comment about the actual show.
Fat Albert was not that bad. I mean, yes, it was one of those shows that always had a lesson to it, but that did get non-racially dark. Like, there was one episode where Fat Albert got... No, he got busted muling drugs.
What? Ugh.
Yeah, it was the episode called, like, Mr. Big or something. Fat Albert got a job working as a delivery boy for this guy, and then he delivers a package that he doesn't know what's in it, and it's DEA agents meeting him, and they're like, you know, this is drugs, and you're gonna look at serious time here, boy. You got to help us get Mr. Big. That's a real episode of Fat Albert where he got busted muling drugs.
Wow. I remember Weird Harold knew exactly what the hell was going on.
Weird Harold never knew what was going on. He was always high.
I don't mind cartoons with messages. I kind of like them. I don't know. Again, it just kind of reminds me of my youth. So
I kind of like how they do it, though. Do you guys, Jowski, I apologize, but this could not be more off topic. But
it's the name of the game, Charlie. Name of the game.
Yep.
But speaking of anti-drugs messages in the form of cartoons, you guys remember this one Saturday morning special they did? In this day and age, they would never do this because all these characters are owned by all these different corporate entities.
I need to correct you because I know where you're going. That was not Saturday morning. That was a primetime special that
was
aired
a primetime?
On. Yes, you got to remember, Fox didn't exist yet. So right. That aired on ABC, CBS, and NBC simultaneously.
Yes,
all
I know
three
the
networks
one
aired,
the,
aired Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue at
That's
the same time.
Yeah,
you
they
would never ever see that again today.
And then
no,
they showed it at school all the time. Like,
yeah, I saw it like at least twice at school.
The
weirdest part is hearing, you know, Bugs Bunny talk about this is weed.
Yeah,
Bugs, damn it, stop it.
Yeah.
As weird as that Pee Wee Herman crack commercial.
This.
Don't do crack. Ah!
It was even weirder than that because they had an animated Alf as a fortune teller.
Well, and you just had Michelangelo from the Turtles. The only turtle that shows up in it is Michelangelo for no apparent reason.
And he's like, he's the one who sounds like he smokes the most weed.
Yeah, he's the one who clearly has the drug problem.
Always eating pizza all the time.
Well, he shows up there to tell him, he's like, don't smoke the pot, eat pizza instead.
Do you guys know well, the pizza after smoking of the pot cloud?
Yeah, that the pot.
Who the voice of the pot cloud was?
Who?
Was it
George
Frank
C. Scott.
George C. Scott, oh my god.
George C. Awesome. Scott was the voice of the pot cloud trying to, come on, Charlie, smoke me. Who's George C. Scott either slumming it or really needing the money?
And speaking of voice actors, John Huston and The Hobbit. I did not realize it's the same guy who directed The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You didn't know that was John Huston?
Blew my mind the other day when I read that. Blew my mind. I'm like, this guy is my new favorite everything.
But guys, I think General like Patton is trying to get me high.
But Kevin, think about it like this now. Is he not the absolute pitch-perfect voice for Gandalf?
Oh, no, he is, absolutely. And it's not that Ian McKellen does a bad job as Gandalf in the movie, it's just that John Huston is absolutely dead on.
Yeah, he's even, and it's hard to say this in an animated thing with just his voice, but even the mannerisms that he works into his voice work.
Yeah, I was watching The Hobbit again the other night. I love the animation. I took the moment to just sit back and enjoy it. It's beautiful.
Please tell me you didn't watch it on DVD.
No, I have it on tape.
Okay, thank you, because the
actually,
tape
I have
is the
two
only
thing. I have a DVD copy, but I have two VHS copies of it.
I have two different VHSs as well. Those are the only real versions. For the listeners out there, you do not watch the Rankin Bass Hobbit on DVD. For whatever reason, and I didn't even know you could do this, sound effects you can lose the rights to. They lost
sound
the
effects.
They lost the rights to the sound effects of like when Sting stabs an ogre or things like that, and they replaced all the sound effects in the entire special with new sound effects.
I wonder
if
it didn't
just
feel
sounds
right.
So off.
I guess like if anyone ever asked, is America too litigious? Now we know.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the answer is yes.
You can only watch The Hobbit on VHS. The DVD is unwatchable.
Yeah, I love that. That's my wife said it's her favorite Christmas movie. She associates it with Christmas.
I never owned that one. Like, I never like bought a VHS copy of it, but my dad had recorded it from ABC when it was run as a miniseries.
Oh, that's cool.
Hobbit was a miniseries. It's
that's
only
how I saw it.
Well, it's only like an hour nine.
Yeah, it's 80.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
well, not a miniseries, but like a movie on TV.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's not long enough. It's only a little over an hour.
I understood what Charlie was talking about.
So,
I remember he had The Hobbit and Flight of Dragons on the same tape.
Flight of Dragons is so awesome. I love how they use math to beat the wizard.
How John Ritter beats the wizard with math.
Yes, I love that. The Flight of Dragons. Is that even on DVD? I've got it on VHS.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on DVD.
Huh.
Because they have an advertisement before my tape copy. It's like, Flight of Dragons, oh, that looks cool.
Flight of Dragons is a really cool special. Nothing to do with Christmas, and Jowski's getting mad at us for all this.
No, it's good. We should keep it off topic. It's
yeah,
fun.
I was going to bring up, though, We Wish You a Turtle Christmas.
Never saw it. Well, I don't think I saw it.
Now, hold up. No, that was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I'm trying to remember what the plot of that was.
Well, this was after the movies, so they were the...
Yeah.
They were not even the animatronic thing.
Oh, was this live action?
This was live action. This was a dude in
animated. Okay.
Oh, maybe I have seen that.
This was dudes in turtle suits singing like Christmas songs about turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Phaelus review one of those last year or the year before?
Somebody reviewed it. I don't know if it was Phaelus or Nostalgia Critic or AVGN. Somebody.
I remember there was no Corey Feldman to be had. In that.
Mm-mm. No, this
saying
was
that
just,
like it's bad.
This was just the turtles celebrating Christmas with some kids that were in the sewers. And I don't know if it would be this or that turtles coming out of their shell for which was the worst thing to have Ninja Turtles in it.
Yep.
I remember Turtles coming out of my shell tour though when I was a kid and being totally hyped for it. Never went to the concert though, sadly. I don't think my parents let me.
I don't think it would have lived up, Kevin.
And then you watch the Coming Out of Their Shell documentary as an adult, and they're like, Michelangelo plays a one-string bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, well, have you ever seen Keith Richards play guitar in any of their videos? He's not even trying. He's just not even pretending to hit the strings. It's like, yeah, Keith Richards, you know, ace guitar player, sure. He's so high, he doesn't even know he's holding a guitar. He thinks it's a woman.
By the way, as an interjection, I just looked it up. Flight of Dragons is on DVD. It was released in 2009 by Warner Brothers.
Oh,
cool. There you go. Hopefully it's not as butchered as the Hobbit one.
Oh, I'm sure it might be. If you can lose the rights to sound effects, I'm sure it is.
Because I was just completely knocked back when I popped the DVD in, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound right. And then I looked it up, and they said they no longer held the rights to the sound effects, so they had to be replaced, and I'm like, I didn't even know sound effects had time limits on them.
What did they replace them with?
Just
different sound effects.
Trying to sound similar, but they obviously, because the original special was made in 77, I think, they sound way too clean for one thing. They don't sound like they're integrated properly. They sound just kind of half-assed. Like, replace the do-do-do-do-do-do-do with just something of equal length. It doesn't work.
A Christmas episode that I just remembered was a specific episode of Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Where Macaulay Culkin hosted.
That's funny you mentioned that. They did a Christmas special tonight on NBC. They just ran it like two hours ago.
I remember the episode where Macaulay Culkin hosted. This was like right after Home Alone.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, what was the Christmas sketch on that, though?
Was he a cokehead yet, then, Charlie?
It wasn't a cokehead yet. That was still to come.
Okay. No, what they did, instead of an opening monologue, was he's all alone at the studio.
Yeah.
And he can't find anybody, so it's like a Home Alone.
Yeah, he's like running around putting on like the Conehead costume. And
And then Lorne Michaels shows up and is like, now.
How topical.
Mm-mm. And the only other sketch I remember, which wasn't Christmas related, was, remember Rob Schneider's character of that?
The copy guy.
The copy guy.
Oh.
He played.
Don't even get me started on everything that was wrong with SNL and their catchphrases and forgetting to write jokes.
It actually was pretty funny, though. Macaulay Culkin played him as a kid, like sitting next to the pencil sharpener in his homeroom class.
Hitting on all the other elementary school girls.
It actually was pretty funny. I'm sharpening your pencil. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I remembered that one. But what was the Christmas special they showed tonight, Mike?
I didn't watch it. I just know it was a compilation Christmas special.
They've done a few of those. There have been some good Christmas sketches on Saturday Night Live. The Fireside Chat with Steve Martin was really good.
The Gumby Christmas special.
The Gumby Christmas special was not bad.
Is that the one with Eddie Murphy in the Gumby costume?
Yes.
I'm Gumby, damn it.
It was the one where Tim Kazurinsky and Julia Louis-Dreyfus make out as Donny and Marie Osmond. They're just singing to each other, and then they just start making out.
Wow, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Man, that was like 6, 7, 8 season. It was way, way back.
It was definitely ways back.
Seasons.
Like what are the really good ones?
Now, when I say the Gumby Christmas special, I mean the SNL thing, because there were actual Christmas episodes of Gumby.
Oh, right. Okay, that reminds me. I don't know. No, these haven't been repeated to my knowledge, and I know they're not on I assume they're not on DVD at this point, but I've got them on VHS, and I remember when these aired. Charlie, Alex, Kevin, Michael, do any of you remember the California Raisins and their two Christmas specials?
Yes,
my church reported them off of TV, and they probably still have the tape somewhere.
Yep,
I have the official releases, but
I remember the camels singing like the pips in the manger.
Yes,
I liked those. In fact, that was my introduction to the California Raisins.
Yeah, in fact, that even California comes into play in the Beavis and Butthead Christmas special. When they were watching like Christmas programming, they watched a little bit of the California Raisins special, and Beavis thought they were turds.
Well, they help people make those. They help old people make them.
It's like, I don't know, man. Like, if a turd could, like, talk and sing and stuff, I'd feel bad about flushing him, you know?
Yeah, poop joke. Alex, classic classy show you run here.
Hey,
says the guy who does the mental cast every week.
This is the guy whose photo is a man that uses his girlfriend as a ninja stopping weapon.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Crotch.
That was pretty funny.
Let's be fair. This episode is actually low on poop joke quota.
Yep.
Yes, this is masterpiece goddamn theater compared
to... This episode's going to be a nightmare for Jowski to edit.
It's going to be a nightmare before Christmas.
Boo!
So, okay, then let me ask you with that. I know
good night, everybody.
But Christmas. Do you consider that more of a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie or an equal 50-50 combo?
It's more a Christmas movie than
it is
Christmas, Halloween.
Yeah.
It's to me like a Halloween themed Christmas movie rather than a Christmas themed.
Yeah,
Halloween.
I mean the story, the theme of Christmas and sharing and the present. It's a Christmas movie. I never watch it around either time of the year though. I always see it like random times of the year, like middle of August, time for Nightmare Before Christmas.
I don't know.
To make a sequel to that, they should make one about somebody who lives in Christmas Town who says "F all y'all" and then like hooks up with people in Halloween Town like the wrong side of the tracks.
Or people from so they've got those towns for every single day, right?
Yes.
You ever been to Hanukkah Town? The delis are magnificent.
So you could conceivably have the people from National Suicide Awareness Day Town crashing in on Valentine's Day Town.
It might be limited to federal holidays. You know, because like I imagine that Guy Fawkes would be the only guy who lives in Guy Fawkes Day Town.
Yeah,
that's where Anonymous is headquartered.
But you have to wonder, Charlie, if in Guy Fawkes Town, do they have a parliament?
They did.
For our British listeners, huh?
Yes. Where my Guy Fawkers at? All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope that we have inspired some form of nostalgia in each and every one of you listening to this show. Go out, find your favorite holiday movie, relive some magic, is what we're saying. For Alex Jowski, Kevin Daly, Michael Riley, and Josh Hadley, this is Charlie McMullen saying thanks again for listening to Geek Juice Radio. Stay tuned for the projection booth with Mike White, and we will hear you next time.
Or you will hear us.
You will hear us next time. We won't hear you unless you're into that.
We have our computers turned up real loud so we can hear you. Just...